Okay.
All right. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This message tonight, I trust, will have everybody's name on it. And this is very functional for all of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul and his preacher boy, Timothy, are approaching the Corinthian church with some very needful things. And this is a very needful topic tonight, something that hits the chord of all of us. And we're going to be speaking on unraveling the mystery of suffering. Unraveling the mystery of suffering. Let's follow as I read tonight the text. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. I want you to underline that, put brackets around it, put a star by it. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in some of our tribulations. Is that what it says? No. Who comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, that can get a little confusing. What he's saying here is, I'm going to comfort you. And once you receive the benefit of that comfort, I want you to take it and turn it right around and pass it on to somebody else. That comfort of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. All right, let's pray, shall we please? Our Father tonight, the day has been hot and the day has been long, and many of the folks are tired. They haven't even eaten. They came right from work. And, oh God, through all that, we ask that you open our spiritual hearts tonight, that we may be receptive to the Word of God. May we see our responsibility as a believer, as a born-again believer in this world that is so laden down with sin. Dear God, I pray that you'll help us tonight to learn something. Teach us the Bible, dear God, in a special way. May we put this to practice. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. The God of all comfort. That's been ringing in my ear over and over and over again. You know something, folks? Everybody, I say everybody, responds to comfort. We're made that way. We're made in the image of God. And God has designed it as he watches and looks upon us. We are creatures that need comfort. Pain and suffering has always perplexed thinking people through all the ages. The age-old question, why do the righteous suffer? You're trying to do right and do the right thing, and it seems like everything's downhill for you. It seems like the gravitational pull is more and more and more and more, and you don't understand it. The guy that goes to the electric chair for his sin, gets anything he wants as his last meal. You name it. T-bone steak, porterhouse, prime rib, they'll give him anything he wants. Why? Because it's over for him. But there's a God of comfort that'll come at the right time, at the right hour in your life to stand beside you. Our Lord Jesus, before he left, he took care of a very important thing. He told the disciples as they were apprehensive, they knew he was leaving, and they were a little insecure. And he said, listen, guys, I'm going to send the Comforter for you in my place. We all know that Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God that comes in to dwell in this temple the moment we're saved. I will send you the Comforter. The Greek word for that word Comforter is the word parakletos, which means one called alongside. God has promised us, folks, in this world that is rapidly approaching the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm getting excited. God has promised that he will send that one, that Comforter. Many of you have experienced that in some point in your life, in your Christian life. When you were against the wall and didn't know where to turn, and you looked up and God provided someone, something, some phone call, something to come alongside and comfort you. And comfort you in a special way. Brother Darrell, come here a minute. I'm going to use you a minute. Okay? Is that okay? I'm not going to hurt you. I won't embarrass you. But I want this to sink in. All right. Mr. Darrell, I got to get by the mic. I didn't have the microphone. Mr. Darrell is Mr. Christian on the earth. And God says, I'm going to send the Comforter. Now, I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I'm playing that tonight, okay? He said, I'm going to send him by, and I'm going to walk with him as he walks in his life, and he tries to serve God and do the best he can. The Holy Spirit of God is there ever comforting him as he walks through the day. I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says, I'll be there. With the same comfort that God gives you, he wants you and I to turn around and cheer up somebody else. Comfort them. Listen, folks, everybody's having a tough time. So henceforth, we need to be good to everybody and comfort anybody. Let's say we're at, okay, thank you, Darrell. I appreciate that. The question is, as we look from Genesis to Revelation, from 6,000 years of mankind, 4,000 in the Old Testament, 2,000 in the New, man has always asked that question. Why? Why? We call it a mystery. And here's the definition, folks. Best I've heard is this. A mystery in the Bible is previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed. There were a lot of mysteries. The church in the Old Testament was a mystery. Didn't know anything about it. Didn't have a clue. The resurrection was a mystery. The second coming was a mystery. Previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed. God says, behold, I show you a what? Mystery. Previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed. Man's been fighting it. for a long, long time. When God puts a man or a woman through the mill, man becomes a trophy of God's grace, the comfort of God. Our lives seem to be all tied up sometimes, twisted and turned and knotted up. And we come in here Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and after battling out in the world, we come and we feel all tightened up about life. Kind of like, don't ever look in this pulpit when I'm speaking. It's dangerous. It's kind of like an old rope. You have to take it apart, thread by thread, to figure it out. The pain of suffering may be physical. It may be marital. Could be financial. Maybe emotional. We are a very complex being today, folks. It may be some type of affliction of a friend, a relative, a family member, or maybe it's you yourself sitting in this room tonight. You say, my life seems like all knots, and I don't see much purpose in what's all happening in my life. It's kind of like the underside of an embroidery work. When ladies years ago used to sit in those sewing rockers with no arms on them, and they would embroider. The little children would sit underneath, and it looked like a big mess with a bunch of strings and knots. Looked like a mess. But little did they know, when you flip that over, there was a beautiful picture being made all the time. And that's exactly what God is doing to us with affliction. All that are godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, shall suffer persecution. Jesus himself was not exempt. He suffered persecution. And so are we. Are we above our master? Absolutely not. So often as a pastor, I would sit and have someone across my desk, and they'd look at me and say, Pastor, why? Why? Why did this happen to me? Why this? Why now? Why me? I don't know. But I know the one that does know. And the Lord Jesus Christ never makes a mistake. He has placed you here, and the circumstances that are going in your life, God is molding you and making you a trophy of his grace. Where one day we'll stand before the Master and be with him forever and ever. Those who suffer carry in their heart so often a tangle of emotions, which comes all kinds of questions, sometimes physical, sometimes maybe theological questions. We just don't know. But you know something? God gave us everything we need. It's at times like that we hail ourselves to the word of God. The psalmist said, while I was musing, the fire burned. The word musing means meditating. The psalmist says, while I was meditating, the fire began to burn in my heart. God's given us the Holy Spirit to be alongside, to comfort us, to be a blessing to someone else. Many of us have been in funeral homes to show our respect to past loved ones. We go there, and what do? Usually, we don't say much of anything. All we do is go there and meet the grieving family, and all they need is that embrace on the shoulder. All they need is that sincere look of compassion that you've been through those valleys, and you know what it feels like. And you're passing that comfort on to someone else. You don't have to say a lot. You just show your concern, your love, the fact that you took time to be with them during that critical hour in their life. The comfort which God gave you, turn that around and give it to somebody else. Folks, we're missing that in America. We're missing that ingredient in the modern New Testament 21st century church. We're so busy coming and going, we're forgetting about what it's all about. Loving people and building them up and strengthening them. For one day you'll be in that position and you'll understand. You'll understand. A young mother loses a baby to SIDS, feels nobody understands. But God brings some other mother along that's been through that valley. They understand. I've been there. Has much weight it carries to people. We as a church, with all the complexities of life, may we stop and remember what we're all about. We are in the people business. Without people, our doors would shut. We are out to reach people with Jesus Christ. We have the answer. The world mocks, laughs, don't know what they need. God help them today. Well, people will say, why, preacher? Why did this happen? The longer I live, the more I realize, why not? I didn't understand as a young pastor why my wife had to be sick. She was sick in Bible college where we met. And she's been sick, deathly sick, for 45 years. Why? I quit asking. I say, why not? His strength is made perfect in weakness. Folks, we're in the people business. May we not forget that. If the Lord tarries and we live, this Sunday morning, there are going to be people assembled in this room that are about ready to throw in the towel. You don't know that. Pastor might, but you don't know that. They just need someone to come out of nowhere and pat them on the back and tell them that. You know, I was taught this by an evangelist, and it really works. Try it. I guarantee it, it'll work. When you walk up to somebody and you see that they're burdened, you see they're carrying a load, walk up to them with all the sincerity of your heart and soul. Look them eyeball to eyeball and say, sir, has anybody told you they love you today? And don't say a word. The first person that talks loses. They'll go, well, no. They don't know how to answer that. People don't know how to respond to love today. Because we're so cold and calculating and we forget what it's about. But with the same compassion, the comfort of God that you've experienced, give to somebody else. Suffering is very real. It's a fact of life. Jesus told the disciples in John 16:33, in this world ye shall have tribulation. No question about it. Period. And the only way to untie it is strand by strand. And we begin to see the picture. The thing that bands and knits us together as a family, as a church, and as a nation, like it or not, folks, bottom line is suffering. What will pull Corinth Baptist Church closer than anything else in the world? Suffering. What pulled America together in 9/11 when those two jet airplanes hit our towers in New York City? What pulled this nation together where nothing else could? Suffering. 3,000 people had to die. I mean, people were going to church. Presidents were going to church. I mean, I liked it. I don't know what their motive was. But there was a unity. There was an instant bond, common denominator being suffering. There's something about it that strikes a chord in the heart of mankind. We look for a design. We look for a pattern. And we don't see one. God, years ago, gave me the precious verse in Isaiah 55:8-9. It's well worth committing it to memory, folks. I mean, memorize it. You say, I'm too old. No, you're not. Write it down. Carry that card with you. Put it in the mirror when you shave, guys. Ladies, when you're doing your hair, put that verse up on the mirror. God says, my thoughts and my ways are not your ways. Your ways are not my ways. And you just leave it there by faith. Understand that, that truth of God. God is working on a higher sphere and a plane that we can even understand as man. Rather than fighting that and destroying ourselves over it, just give it to God. That's what Jesus says, come ye all ye labor and heavy laden, and I will give you a rest. There is a rest that Hebrews speaks about of the believer. When he trusts Christ by faith, he living by faith. And God gives a rest. One of the most beautiful signs that I've been able to experience as a pastor, and these other preachers that are here would attest to it too. You're called to the bedside of a dying saint, and just being there, you see the glow of God come over him. You see the rest is about over. The battle is over. They're ready. They're ready to go. But likewise, folks, you go to someone bedside in a hospital, family asks you to go, they don't think he's saved, and you go. And you try to share the gospel one more time, and they grit their teeth and clutch the bed and say, no, no, no. How sad. How sad. And they go into a Christless eternity, separated from God forever. 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 Oh, people of God, let us take this great comfort God has given us that you've experienced through others through the years when you were at the wall. And let him lift you in a miraculous way. Yes, God carries you when you bury a loved one, a life's mate. God will carry you at a time like that. I've seen that happen so many times. And that is so precious. The peace that God gives. In fact, as we read in the opening verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about grace, mercy, and peace. You'll never have the peace till you receive the grace first. It has to precede it. Now, God's always there. He's always alongside. Now, very quickly, as we hasten on, three reasons why we suffer. Number one, that we might be prepared to comfort others. It's a domino effect, folks. God comforts you, you comfort the next one, the next one, the next one. That's the way it's supposed to go. That's God's way, God's intention. We are His ambassadors for Christ. When we all go through suffering, God will comfort you. And then we in turn will comfort somebody else. It's miraculous how that works. I've seen that happen so many times. Many of you know the Johnny Erickson Tata was very seriously injured in a diving accident. It was a swimmer. She dove in some water and hit something, and she wound up being a paraplegic. You say, wow, why is that? A young gal, just barely out of her teens. But she has done more to reach people with physical impairments in their bodies than anyone I know in a contemporary setting today. She has reached a lot of people. Why? Because that comfort she took and passed it on to someone else. Now, folks, it's up to you. Are you going to live the rest of your days just going like this? Just putting it in here, just for me, and hoarding it up? You know, the older I get, the less it matters. Stuff. I'm on a mass exodus of getting rid of stuff. You need some stuff? See me. I got all kinds of it. It doesn't matter, folks. The closer I get, I just passed a landmark. I turned 70 last week, so I've had my 70. I am now on borrowed time. But I'm going to live it to the best, as free as I can, without the trappings of this world. Oh, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Angels pecking me. Ah, I'm looking forward to the day that I'll see Jesus. Number two, why do we suffer? That we might not trust in ourselves. We have that propensity, folks, to trust in what we can do, what our ability is. Our world is all bent on that. That's their philosophy. Build self. Self is good. Man is good. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says in the Psalms, the best that we do is vanity and a fraud sometimes. God said to a very wise man who said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we all know it, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Did you catch that, folks? Our part, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. That's what we have to do. And then God does his part. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The question is tonight, are we acknowledging him in our life? Or do we have our own agenda and just kind of sprinkle a little Christianity on it? That's one thing I'll have to say. I'm thankful for my days in the military. In the military, you can't be a holy Joe and one of the boys. You're either or. It's this side of the tracks or that side. Make up your mind. You got to choose. They won't let you play church. They won't let you play the game, as Satan would like to so cunt us into and slow us down and turn our steam down, turn the fire down. So we cool down a lot and just kind of come to church, slip in and slip out. I don't care. All I want is my rocking chair, you know. Don't ask me to do anything. I don't want to do anything. I just want to appear and leave. That's not the idea that Jesus had when he started the New Testament Bible-believing church. God allows us to suffer so that we don't trust ourselves. It's a bad problem. I have it. For when we are most helpless, we are most dependent. And our nature hates that. We don't want to think that we're weak and that we can't do it. That we can pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and we can do it ourselves. That's totally foreign to the teaching of the Scripture, my friends. God wants us to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, God says. Why do we have sufferings, trials, testings? To keep us in check. Because when we're in check, and God sees us broken and totally stripped of everything. Ever been there, folks? When you had totally nothing? Think of these people down in the Gulf, lost everything in their homes, in the floods. They're stripped of everything. You know something? Their faith is growing by leaps and bounds right now because they're in a position where they have to only look up and trust God. That is really a good place to be. I don't want that. No, I work too hard. But what did God say? I'm going to wrap it up here now, folks. Wrap it up. Isaiah 55. I go back to that verse. For my thoughts aren't your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Child of God, tonight, whatever's happening in your life, whatever it is, you hang on to that, and you look to God in faith and say, Lord, I don't know, but I know you know, and I totally trust you in all things. God's going to not lead us all this way and give up on us. He didn't lead the Israelites out of
Egypt and to just die in the wilderness.
He always stood by him. And my friends, we have that Parakletos, that one called alongside, patting us on the back, looking us in the eye. And we can leave saying, everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. It don't matter if it's cancer. I've had it. I've been through that. Everything's all right in my Father's house. I don't have a job, preacher. Everything's all right. If we as a church are tuned our ear spiritually to the Holy Spirit, when we assemble on Sundays, you'll see all kinds of ministries all over in people's lives. Listen to them. Why are visitors come? They're come because they're hurting. They're coming because they want answers. They want something real. And we have it, folks. It's why Jesus said so boldly, and it turns the world wild, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. They can't have that. They can't handle that. But we can. We know. And then number three, very, very quickly. Why? That we might learn to give thanks. To give thanks. I'm still learning this one. Still at it. I'm still in school. But actually, I feel like I just matriculated. The truth of the matter is, the Bible says, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, say it with me, everything, what? Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You may have to say that with blinding tears and losing your air, and I mean, just, it's tough. But say, Lord, I'm going to thank you for it. Learn to thank God for those trials. You want to know why? And I'm done. Because God has a mysterious way of saying, in his word he told us, and we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. They're working together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So that means God, being in charge, can orchestrate good to come out of the most horrendous trial that we would face. Because we'll know hereafter. You remember our Lord? Preachers are closing all the time. You know that, Tommy. I'm done. If I can remember my train of thought. I forgot it. You're spared. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he said, not that I speak in respect of want, but I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I've learned to be content. What a state. I mean, he was rich and abound. He had ups and downs in his life. As a new Christian, I put that verse in the galley where I was cooking, and when we were having rough seas, I said, boy, Paul could say that, I could do that too. I'm thankful for all the meat going on the floor. You know, I couldn't understand it. But yes, God can do it, and God wants to do it. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you a fresh blessing, fresh manna in the morning. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, I just pray in some way that only you can do, that you'd help somebody tonight. Somebody in this room's heart's about ready to break. Something very tender is on their mind and their soul. And they're saying, why? Why not? Could they change it to say, why not? God, help me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God will see me through. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen. I pray something said tonight would help you along life's way, would prepare you for the rest of this week, would get you excited about the Lord's Day, seeing a visitor. Folks, we've only got one shot when they come. If you don't make them feel that they want to come back for more, it's over. You got to, I mean, everybody, just get up and say, man, we're so glad to see you. I'm so grateful to see you. They expect him to do that. That's his job. But they don't expect that little lady back there with a cane to get up and take her 5 minutes to get over to you and say, thanks for coming today. Supercharge the church. Woo! Can anybody say amen? God bless you. I'm done. Tommy, you got it.